Let's turn our Bibles to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 24. Matthew, chapter 24. And we shall once again read verse 24, which is the text given to me to evaluate the charismatic movement of our time. And may the Lord grant us the grace to apply the truths of God's Word in a faithful manner, that we may know what is happening in our times and what would follow soon. So let's read Matthew chapter 24 and verse 24. These are the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and he says, "For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that, if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect." We are living in a time of great spiritual deception. The Lord Jesus Christ tells us that in the last days, deceivers will be coming into the church and, of course, into the world in a manner that never preceded. And as you know, Matthew chapter 24 and 25 are two chapters that records our Lord Jesus' famous sermon known as Olivet Sermon. He was in Mount Olive when he preached the words that are recorded in Matthew 24 and 25. And these words were spoken in an answer to the question of the disciples. You may want to refer to verse 3 of chapter 24, where we read, "And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world?" So these two questions from the disciples set off Jesus in this path of revealing the things that are to come when the time nears the end. And then the Lord Jesus Christ immediately said to them in verses 4 and 5, that the greatest signs of the last days would be spiritual deception. And please read that, verses 4 and 5. "And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you. And ye shall hear," verse 5, "For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many." So you can see the word deceive being repeated in verses 4 and 5. And that's the emphasis that Jesus gives. There will be deceivers in great number, and also the deceived in great number. One of the things that we need to remember always is this. Our Lord Jesus is very clear that as false teachers, deceivers abound, the vulnerable people on this earth will also abound. You see, if everybody is discerning and willing to recognize and reject the deceivers, then the deceivers will not have much fertile ground to grow, because they will be identified and rejected with great vehemence. However, the people themselves will be waiting to have those preachers and teachers who would help them to live a very hypocritical life. As Apostle Paul says, in the last days, there will be many who will have a form of godliness and at denying the power thereof. People want to have a religiosity and yet do not want to have God's sovereign rule over their hearts. They do not want to yield to God and thus live a godly life. They want to have the religiosity. They want some supernatural things to work in their life. They want to have some sense of spirituality, as many people would say today. However, people are not interested to come under the sovereign control of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. So they would embrace, or they would be happy to have preachers who would entertain their own desires. Come to church, look like Christians, sing great songs, and give plenty of money, and join in activities, but they do not want themselves to be confronted by the truth. They do not want anyone to call themselves to repent of their sins and live a life that is wholly dedicated to the Lord. They want Christ and the world. Now, this is nothing new. When our Lord Jesus Christ was here on earth, he repeatedly warned people of such hypocritical life. There were a plenty of such people in Jesus' time. For example, the Pharisees, the scribes, the priests, the Sadducees. The Lord confronted them and warned the people that their righteousness must exceed the so-called righteousness of the Pharisees, which was self-righteous thing. You see, they were religious people. They handled the word of God. They were called teachers. Nonetheless, they couldn't recognize Jesus Christ, the Messiah. So you can imagine how wicked they have become in their own notion of spirituality. How can they say they are God's people and that do not recognize their God, their Savior? And that's why Jesus said the great problem they had was they were not lovers of God, lovers of truth. They were not lovers of righteousness. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus said, "You cannot serve God and mammon." You cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot love God and the world and think that you are walking aright. This is what we see increasingly even today. And Jesus now predicts that in Matthew chapter 24. There will be people who want to have a religious appearance and yet they cannot recognize the truth and true Lord Jesus Christ. And because of that situation, many people will be deceived. They can't recognize Christ. They can only recognize the false ones as good. Can you imagine that? They misrecognize the false ones as the true, and they follow the false ones. And that's why Jesus said very clearly, "Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, 'I am Christ,' and shall deceive many." Now, after warning that, Jesus went on to talk about many other signs that would come upon this earth in the last days, whether it would be wars or rumors of wars. Well, we have more coming. North Korea now says that they exploded a hydrogen bomb. And that's the latest news. I just happened to hear this afternoon. And everybody is asking what Trump is going to do. He promised fire and fury. So everybody is very worried. What's going to come up? Now, let me tell you, let's don't be so comfortable right here, thinking that it will not come this way. Now, I can tell you, United States was using our country to bring their naval ships. And sometimes you can see American Navy ships around here, around the waters of Singapore. And all this infuriates the enemies of America. And what they're going to do, we do not know. And there are bad things that are happening between Russia and America today. Rumors of wars of all kinds happening, not only in the Middle East. It's spreading across the world. But again, we also see other signs, which are even more scary than the wars. Look at the hurricane that hit Texas and Houston. They were terribly affected. Now they are saying there's another one coming, following Harvey. Another storm is going to hit. Hopefully, it won't be as powerful as the previous one. Devastation everywhere. Carnage everywhere. People's wealth are being taken off. And in the midst of all these troubles, we would hope people will humble themselves and seek God. But they are actually going to do the opposite. They are going to be more materialistic, more of this world, instead of repenting and following the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Antichrist people, the false Christ, the Antichrist of, you know, false teaching and false gospel are going to increase in number and strength, because they will see that the world is ready to have them more than Christ himself. The world is ready to have false notion of spirituality rather than true spirituality. Now, I think my conviction is that many of the signs that Jesus spoke in Matthew 24 are yet to come with greater intensity. We have not reached that point in all its fullness, particularly in the tribulation period, which is also part of chapter 24. All these things are going to be much worse. Now, let me point out to you that in Matthew chapter 24, the word elect is particularly used by the Lord Jesus. By the way, the word elect in the Gospel of Matthew for the first time is found in Matthew 24. And if you were to look at Matthew 22, you will see the first appearance of the word elect. And he uses the word elect again in the verse that we read, that is verse 24. But take a look at verse 22. And it says, immediately after talking about great tribulation in verse 21, maybe I should read verse 21 as well to help you see the context. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should be no flesh be saved. For the elect's sake, that's the first appearance of the word elect in the Gospel of Matthew, those days shall be shortened. Jesus says, tribulation days will be so calamitous, catastrophic, because of the Antichrist's rule and his systematic elimination of true believers. Not only believers like you and me who are part of God's elect number, but also we know from the scriptures that in the last days, many Jewish people from the nation of Israel will turn to Christ. And we know of 144,000 who will go across the face of the earth as gospel witnesses. And there will be more Jewish people that will turn to Christ. And toward the end, as a whole nation, majority of them will turn to Christ, to the one whom they have pierced as their Savior. And the Lord Jesus Christ here says, unless the days of great tribulation will not be shortened, all these Jewish elect and the Gentile elect will be destroyed. Not only through catastrophic actions that Antichrist would bring upon this earth, but also through confusion. And that's what Jesus says later on. So let's stick to the text. Come back, please. And we are told here in verse 23 that the Lord will shorten the days for the elect's sake. And now verse 23, if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christ and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, inasmuch as that it were possible they shall deceive the very elect. Again, the attack is against God's people. Even God's people will be pressurized and squeezed and cause to ask questions, because there will be great confusion, not only chaos and calamities and great persecution, but also spiritual confusion being sowed everywhere. Confusion, delusion, people being seduced. If you were to read 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, Paul speaks of it even more clearly, with greater emphasis on how they will try and deceive people. Would you please come with me to 2 Thessalonians? 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. The Spirit of God reveals the same truth that Jesus mentioned in Matthew chapter 24 in this text through the Apostle Paul. So let's take a look at 2 Thessalonians and chapter 2. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, by our gathering together unto him. He's talking about the second coming of Christ there. That ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Now watch this, verse 3. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first. A great apostasy is predicted here, moving away from the truth. And that man of sin, which is the Antichrist, be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. So Antichrist is going to take the center stage in the worship of the Jewish people. And that is going to upset the Jews, and that will unleash his persecution and torture of the Jews. Now we further read in verse 5, remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things. And now ye know what withholdeth, that he might reveal in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. He says sin is already at work. The spirit of Antichrist is at work. Only he who know letteth will let, until he be taken out of the way. So for a time, the Lord says, this sin will continue to increase, and God has his timing. Now verse 8, then shall the wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. So the Lord himself will come to destroy the wicked one, which is the Antichrist, and will remove him by the spirit of his mouth, and destroy with the brightness of his coming. And so, verse 9, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. Look at that. This is how the Antichrist and his agents going to deceive people. He is going to come after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. So people are going to look for mystic experiences, supernatural experiences, will have a great deal of entertainment for themselves by the devil. The devil is going to pervade the spiritual realm, even within the church, and going to entertain those who would gather with his own trickeries and treacheries and counterfeit miracles. And God, the Lord predicts that in his word. And verse 10, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them. Look at that, deceivableness of unrighteousness. People will not be able to recognize these counterfeit miracles because they themselves have gone down the way of unrighteousness. Their perception is no more clean and clear because it's all darkened by this dark cloud of their love for unrighteousness. Because they are lovers of sin, because they like to continue in their materialistic carnal ways, they cannot recognize the wickedness of these teachers and miracle workers. I read again verse 10. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. It is not truth that they seek, but acceptance of their unrighteousness. And yet, some notion of spirituality. Now God says, through Apostle Paul in verse 11, for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. And God is going to allow such great seduction of Christianity, seduction of people who use Jesus' name, because instead of loving the truth of God that calls us away from sin unto righteousness, people like to have a kind of spirituality that allows them to continue to love this material world and engage in its sin. And if you were to look into the present spiritual world, you see this happening everywhere, and particularly brought on to our times by the charismatics. And I hope by God's grace I can mention some things to you in the light of what we just read. Charismatic movement is a very dangerous movement. It has blinded thousands, millions of people around the world. Millions of people gather in the name of Jesus and hear nothing of His truth, but distortion of His truth. People want to feel that they are spiritual. So these charismatic leaders offer them special spiritual anointing. And they say speaking in tongues is one way you can be sure that Holy Spirit has come upon them. But we know very clearly from the scripture that even when tongues existed, not everyone spoke in tongues in the church. And that they claim that if you have the Holy Spirit, you will surely speak in tongues, for tongues is the sure sign of the Holy Spirit filling. What a distortion. Even the scripture doesn't give any such notion as I mentioned. You just have to read 1 Corinthians 12. You will see that. And moreover, the Bible clearly says that the tongue speaking were not gibberish. It's not just repeated utterance of sounds. Recently, I wrote certain articles on charismaticism in the Bible Witness magazine. I hope you will pick up and read that. Now, we have limited time. I can't go into the details. There I have discussed why the modern tongue speaking is utterly unbiblical. But today's gibberish is not what we read in the scriptures, like in Acts chapter 2, where people were able to preach the word of God, declare the wonderful works of God in the languages of other people. The languages that they never learned were suddenly given to them so that they may declare the word of God. But that's not what's happening. Today, in the name of the biblical tongue speaking, they force themselves to utter whatever they feel in their mind, especially in a very elevated psychological moment in the worship where the music is played, much screaming and shouting and false testimonies being uttered, and people listen to it and they are forced to come forward to get special blessing. And then whatever is suggested to them in that heightened emotional moments, they would just do it. Not too long ago, I talked to a few people who went to a charismatic church in Singapore where they have special second blessing of the Holy Spirit where you will go up and the pastor will pray for them. And when they were laid upon by the hands of the pastor said, "Now free your tongue to speak in tongues." And they look at the pastor, they don't know what it means. And so they were told, "Now say hallelujah, say blood of Jesus. Let's say praise the Lord. Now say it. Now free your tongue. Go faster and faster." Now, the faster they go, the most tongue-tied they become. And their words were not clear. Sounds were coming out of their mouth. And they were told that's tongues. And the pastor said, "Praise the Lord." And the people went home thinking that they have the Holy Spirit. And that these people were not converted. Not even born again. Now we have Catholics speaking in tongues. They worship Mary. They pray to the dead. They pray for the saints. They believe in all the Roman Catholic errors. And yet they are regarded as having the Holy Spirit. How can that be? So tongue speaking has brought together a great number of unbelieving people into the church. This is deception. The Bible already tells us in 1 Corinthians 13, again, because of lack of time, you might have heard and studied it in this church. We have been told that three revelatory gifts will end. The gift of knowledge, the gift of prophecy, and gift of tongues. They will cease. Why? Because those were gifts that God gave to the church in the New Testament era, in the early church era, that the word of God may be revealed. Because the New Testament was not yet revealed. God appointed prophets in congregations so they may receive the word of God and then portion by portion reveal it to the church. And so there were prophets in those days. And they had the gift of prophecy. But when that which is complete, that which is in part, shall be done away. And today we have the complete revelation of God in the Bible. The 27 books of the New Testament gives us the revealed will of God in its fullness, in its perfection. So there is no need for any more gift of prophecy or gift of tongues. And we know from the church history that these gifts have been slowly taken away. But now there is a revival of these things. Why? Just as Jesus said, many will come to deceive through wonders and miracles. And they will perform many things. Some are counterfeit, but some are, I believe, devil-strengthened or devil-given, driven by the devil himself. Now, I often think of this as what happened when Moses went to tell Pharaoh to let my people go. At first, when Pharaoh rejected Moses' demand, Moses did a miracle. He threw down his stick and it became a serpent. So did the magicians of Egypt. But it was a counterfeit miracle. We know that. Of course, Moses' serpent ate all of them. And we know from that the devil is able to produce what is known as counterfeit miracles in order to deceive people. And he continued to do so. Many of the things that are happening today in the name of the Holy Spirit are actually demonic. And there are lots of pretensions. There are a lot of self-generated illusions and all that. But also, I believe, because 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 tells us, Satan himself will work out his power to deceive people. And therefore, you have to be very careful about the charismatic claim that unless you speak in tongues, you don't have the Holy Spirit. Of course, the charismatics would then argue that if you don't speak in tongues, Holy Spirit is not within you. But the scripture tells us that everyone who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ has the Holy Spirit in them, whether it's Romans chapter 6 or chapter 8 and other parts of the scripture like 2 Timothy 1:4, all tells us that Holy Ghost dwelleth in us believers, and we are baptized into Christ, and the Holy Spirit continues to guide us daily. He fills us, and we are told to be filled with the Holy Spirit because the Spirit of God is given to us so we can be empowered by the Holy Spirit in order to bear fruits of the Spirit. Now, charismatics also teach that because of the Holy Spirit that worketh in us, we are able to do miracles. And God gives miraculous powers to some today. Is that true? Well, we have famous names like Benny Hinn, who was taught by another charismatic who passed away about 7 years ago, I think in 2009, and his name is Oral Roberts. Oral Roberts was very famous all over the world. Millions of people followed him, and he has trained some people to be his successors. Some of the names are Joel Osteen, Ted Haggard, Kenneth Copeland, there are many more, Carlton Pearson, Billy Joe Daughtry, and so on. Now, all these are famous names in America. And of course, among us, probably we know people like Joel Osteen. Joel Osteen is made famous in Singapore by Joseph Prince. He follows very closely with him. And so, even in Singapore, we have some of the influences of these charismatic leaders from America. Now, Oral Roberts actually preached what is known as word faith, sometimes known as seed faith concept. In other words, if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, that faith will lead you to great blessings of health and wealth. And so many people come to church not that they may be saved from their sins, but that they may be blessed with health and wealth. Most people in these days who go to churches, especially charismatic churches, when they hear the word gospel, they immediately think about, you know what? Health and wealth. Not about forgiveness, not about the Jesus' work in our hearts to purify us, to live a life of holiness. But they always think about getting rich and getting healthy. Countless people worldwide think of the gospel as a message about material riches and physical healing, rather than infinitely greater blessing of forgiveness from sin and the eternal blessing of believers' spiritual union with Christ. People have taken on a different meaning for the gospel. And this is created by people like Oral Roberts and many others like Norman Vincent Peale and so on. And the students are gaining strength. In fact, I think Benny Hinn has become more popular than Oral Roberts. It is said of him in his website that his crusades have included audiences up to 7.3 million in 3 services in India. His television program called This Is Your Day is one of the most popular Christian television programs in the world, and it reaches to 20 million people in the United States and 200 countries around the world. Just imagine the kind of influence these people have. Now you understand the extent of Jesus' prediction. Many will be deceived. Just imagine. And I can tell you something. We've got to be very careful. This can happen to us too. You wouldn't even recognize that happened to you if you're not careful. What is the one thing that you seek the most? Why do you come for prayer meeting? Why do you come to church? Why? Ask yourself, why are you following Jesus Christ? Is it for better results, for example? Greater savings? Better health? Jesus said, Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. You must seek to be ruled by Christ. He is the king. He must have total control over your life. But now we are controlled by an aspiration to be rich. You know, everybody is crazy about health. Please, continue to take care of your health. You know, I have diabetic problem. And, you know, I'm on injection 3 times a day. And that causes me to gain weight recently. And so some people will come and say, Pastor Kushi, are you taking care of yourself? I say, I try my very best. But you must do a lot of exercise. I said, very hard. I'm trying. I'm 52 already. I can't run the way I used to run. It gives me cramps and problems here and there. So I try to walk. But Mash, okay? I said, I will try. But you know something? Your body is the temple of God. And you must take care. I said, what? My body is the temple of God, so I must exercise? You go and read the context and come back and tell me whether that's what it means. I'm not saying you shouldn't exercise. Please exercise. But what do you mean by temple of God? That it may be a sanctified body for the Holy Spirit's use. That we may be fit for the Master's use. Not that we may be healthy, you know. I think people will be very happy if I come with a tucking belly, protruding chest, good biceps. Nowadays, all the charismatic bosses, most of them, take a look. They all look like Hollywood stars. And because they say, if you don't look like this, if you don't look very healthy, if you don't put on a very glamorous clothes and wear expensive watch, people will think that we are not blessed. My goodness, what did Jesus say? Foxes have holes, birds have nests. But the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. Who do you follow? Jesus, who gave up everything. Jesus told us, if you want to follow me, take up the cross and follow. But today people are so fooled because they only have one thing in their mind. I want to be richer. I want to be healthier. I want to enjoy this world. And no matter how I acquire it, it doesn't matter. I just have to get it. And if my pastor would help me to do just that, even better. Dear friends, the biggest problem in my thinking that leads to this horrible deception of the charismatic era is people's dislike for righteousness. That is the direct result of Christ ruling our hearts. Oh, why do you seek the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you know how beautiful the Lord Jesus is? His words are true. His words are holy. His truth sanctifies us. It gives us comfort and strength to look beyond this world. It helps us to work for the salvation of sinners. It helps us to live an orderly life that is pleasing to God. It helps us to bring up our children in the ways of God, not as rich and worldly children, but as godly children, even if it could mean giving up the things of this world. But today people cannot think of pursuing godliness, but they believe in pursuing materialism. And this is blinding the hearts and minds of people. You cannot serve God and mammon. One of the reasons all these charismatic churches are filled with people is because of the offer of wealth and health. And I fear these things are also very subtly creeping into our churches as well. One way to see whether you are being deceived is to see what is your greatest passion. Is it the Lord Jesus Christ and His reign over your hearts, and the righteousness that Christ instilled within us? If it is not, though we are not outrightly charismatic yet, we are in that slippery slope to be overtaken very quickly. And I am convinced, over the past 30 years of my ministry, watching the people whom I ministered to for 30 years, that where there is materialism and carnality, truth will not prevail. They will crumble under the truth. They deny the Savior. They deny the truth, and they go away. But some, unfortunately, remain in the church, and they manage to put up a spiritual appearance and not pursuing the world. You know what these people are doing? They may survive in the church, but they are cultivating or bringing up a new generation that is already accepted your kind of seductive life. They are confused. I fear this a great deal that some of us who have adopted a very secular kind of lifestyle with unrighteousness everywhere are losing our kids to the world. Many will leave faith. There will be a falling away, not only in charismatic churches, but even in our own churches. Let's be very careful. And I want to plead with you. Jesus warned us, take heed that you will not be deceived, for many will be deceived. Let's pray. Our Father, we spend this evening of the Lord's Day to consider what is going on in the Christian world of our time. We know from Thy Word that things are going to be much worse than that what it is today. It's already horrifying, so heartbreaking to watch that Jesus' name is tarnished by men who mention His name. And millions are flocking around such people who give no glory to Christ, but systematically undermine the truth of the gospel. They distort the gospel. They preach another Jesus. They preach the world and worldliness. It's so heartbreaking to watch this. What great delusion have come upon people. And if we were to take Thy word seriously, we know it can come to our midst as well. It can come to our churches and our families. Lord Jesus, help us, we pray, that we will be true lovers of our Savior and Lord, and also His word. Sanctify us by Thy truth. Even tonight, we pray that You will continue to work in the hearts of Thy people. I thank Thee for giving me this opportunity to declare Thy word. Even though in infirmity and weakness, O Lord, the word that is preached by Thy servant should continue to bear fruit for Your glory. So we pray that the Lord would bring these words into the hearts of the hearers in such a fashion that they will think about themselves and their life, how they honor the Lord Jesus Christ. Do they really honor Him, or they pretend to honor Him? Lord, let every man examine himself and see whether he loves the Lord or not, or loves the world more than Christ. Have thine own way with us, we pray, that we may know you and we may serve you. In Jesus' name, amen.